I'll take it. I'll take it. You know, a lot of buys this week, but I would say I like more games than probably, personally, than any week of the season so far.
Well, this is a must-listen spot. It always has been, but especially this year. What are you guys at now in the Super Contest Gold? Did you turn in a 4 out of 5 last week?
Yep. And actually, unfortunately, we had the 49ers. Right, last week, who were controlling that game up, I think it was 15-3, if I'm remembering, but they were up pretty big against Arizona, or we would have swept it. Half game out right now, $700,000 winner take all. We're 67% on the season, 5 games a week. Me, Fezzik, and Maddie Holton. What's fun is on our podcast, The Dream Preview, we actually make 3 of the best bets live. And so you can see the way the sausage is made.
Let's break down this week. Man, I was fired up. I thought I got good value on the Vikings against the Saints. It didn't work out. Now the Vikes come back, and they're laying a big number against the Lions.
Yeah, well, 5's not so big. Right, to me, it feels a little short.
Okay.
And what reinforces that to me is the Golden Tate trade. Now, we can talk, and I've heard people say, well, Detroit's running the ball more, so receivers don't matter as much. Okay, but why trade your best receiver? And we can debate, is Golden Tate the 20th best receiver in the league or even the 35th or 40th? But still, I don't think many people will debate Tate was the best receiver on the Lions. Now, what people will say is, well, the Lions knew they weren't going to win the Super Bowl, so why not plan on or play for next season or the future? Okay, fine, but let's admit that's then a real negative for this week. The combination of the absence on the field of Tate and the mentality, the mindset of the Lions' remaining players. How can that be a good thing if you feel like you're fighting for a playoff spot and one of your best guys gets shipped out of town with no compensation now? I know there's future compensation, but none now. So to me, the combination of the Vikings being motivated here because they need a win. They're only 4-3-1 on the season, combined with a downturn for the Lions with the Tate trade. I do like the Vikings.
The Browns, in an effort to start moving forward, clean things up, get rid of the OC and the head coach in Hugh Jackson. Does that solve their problems? Are they worth playing +8.5 at home against the mighty Chiefs?
Typically, and I would say 90%+ of the time, Steve, if a coach is fired in the middle of the year, it's a good thing for the team. Why? Because they're getting fired due to bad performance, right? That's why coaches get fired. And thus there's a sense of, okay, let's start over. This is rare. How many times, and you follow sports as closely as anyone, have you seen before, let's say, week 14, so not the very end of the season, how many times do you see a coach get fired when it's not a bye week and it's a minimum, not a 10-day break off a Thursday night game?
Right.
So when you have 6 days in between games, and you fire not only your head coach, but your coordinator? I don't think I've ever seen that on the offensive side. And then you take your DC to be head coach. So literally the 3 key positions have now been changed. Head coach is gone, coordinator's gone, and the DC is gone because the DC became head coach. So how many hours, 100-plus hours this week you're losing of prep time? And I get it. Hugh Jackson might not have been a great coach, but he was better than nothing. So to me, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, the Browns might be better because of this. I don't think it's possible that the Browns are better this week.
I don't like what I've seen from the Ravens. So I'm on the Steelers side. I don't know if it's a lean or like yet, but what do you think? Steelers +3.
I think at 3, it's a like. 2.5, a little more common right now. A little preview, we will be playing the Steelers +3 as one of our Super Contest Gold picks. And I'll be a lot of demand at with our nice run. So I'll be tweeting out our final 5 at RJ in Vegas on Sunday morning. You know, this is a close in-division series, very intense rivalry, Steelers-Ravens. And I also think that Pittsburgh is probably the team affected most in the league by emotion, either good or bad. So I think this is one where the emotion, the motivation is positive. And Steelers, I think, +3 are trending upwards, while the Ravens seem to be trending downwards. O-line for the Steelers is playing exceptionally well. I mean, there's some stats out there where Big Ben is getting hit, bottom of the league, where he's just not getting hit. And remember, it wasn't that long ago Steelers only were succeeding on offense because Big Ben could take the hits, could scramble. Now it's more of that rhythm passing, which I think really, listen, I've been very critical of Tomlin. Last thing on this game, they saw four or five years ago, Big Ben's going to get older like all of us. We got to make this offensive line better. They spent a lot of draft choices, brought in Munchak from Tennessee, head coach, got fired. And this O-line is very, I think, underrated, where you don't hear the Steelers as a top-five O-line. I think they are a top-five O-line.
RJ Bell is with us here, breaking down another week in the NFL. He's now on 5 days a week, Fox Sports Radio National at 3 o'clock Pacific. I have been on the Panthers the last couple of weeks, but now I think the value's gone out with this number. At home against the Buccaneers, laying 6.5, and I do worry. I know Fitzy can have rough times with the interceptions, but that offense is also explosive. So I wonder if the Panthers get out to a lead and then Fitzy inches back into the game.
I think your instincts are exactly right, Steve. I'm proud of you here, because it's just like, let's say, cryptocurrency. The minute that men's health has a cryptocurrency how-to is probably when you don't want to get into cryptocurrency, right? Well, the Panthers are now like, wow, look at this team. Look at their record. And because of that, probably getting a little expensive here. And they've been cheap, cheap, cheap. Remember, just last week, the Ravens were favored by 3 on Sunday at Gut2 at Carolina. Even though Carolina last 33 home games, 27-6 straight up now. So they're getting 3 against a Ravens team. That was one of the more confusing lines of the year for me. Now, though, they're moving towards a touchdown against Tampa. One thing that keeps me off Tampa here, I think Fitzpatrick's better, but there's tons of internal politics with Winston's benching, and I think that could be a distraction. One is Winston is on a contract where there's an option for the fifth year unless he gets hurt, and it's a team option. So I think they're benching him, pretty much saying we're done with him, we're going to let him go, and we don't want him to get hurt because then it's like a $20 million hit. But on the other hand, his future, Winston's, is really connected to the coach Cutter's future. They're kind of joined at the hip. So now by benching Winston, Cutter's probably pretty much guaranteed to be gone. So what kind of distraction is that internally? I think there's a ton of politics here that make Tampa Bay a big question mark. So I do lean that way, but I'm not going
to
bet it.
I'm going to skip down the board a little bit to Chicago and Buffalo, because I like the storyline of what happened last night with unknown Nick Mullen shocking the world. I don't know that the Peterman Project, as you called him last year, which was a disaster in L.A., can get the job done. But I do wonder about the wisdom of laying 10 with a Bears team on the road at the Bills.
Actually, it was the Peterman incident.
Oh, that was it.
Remember, he comes out and it's like it's a crime scene. All that said, another pick we will certainly or almost certainly have is the Bills.
Yeah.
And here's why. Now, where would you rank 1 to 32, just gut feeling, where do you rank the Bears?
Bears, I'm not as high on the Bears as everyone else. Probably top 12 team.
I think 12 is about where Fezzik has.
Okay.
Okay. When do you see a slightly above average team lay double digits on the road?
Right. It's insane.
And the only reason is that would make sense is if the Bills are an all-time bad team. And I think it's fair to say with Peterman, the worst team in the league, but they're not an all-time.
Yeah, I think offensively all-time, in the bottom of the offensive rankings. But I think their defense has played hard almost every game.
Well, listen, they played – they stopped the Patriots.
Yep.
I mean, that was a lucky cover with that. You know, when you need a pick six at the end, you got lucky. That's pretty simple. So, to me, it's one of those, okay, we're taking doubles at home, and oh, by the way, at 37, which is the over-under in some spots, the lowest total of the year. Now, why does that matter? Because if you're taking 10 and the total's 37, it's so much better than taking 10 if the total's 57, let's say, or anywhere in between, because points are more valuable. We're literally getting over 25% of the total points scored as a spread. How do you do better than that? So to me, this is one of those, oh, man, hold your nose, but there's value on the Bills, and oh, by the way, it's correlated. So if you do like the Bills, look at Bills in the under. Not because it's guaranteed, but if the Bills do cover, the odds of it going under 37.5 or 37 is much better than 50%.
RJ is a great follow on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, and you want to go to pregame.com, go there right now. Let's get to three more games, and we'll go rapid fire on these. Do you like all the love that the Chargers are getting on the road now, a pick at Seattle?
No. And I like Seattle here. I mean, here's something that really speaks to how good Seattle's home field is. Last 33 times Seattle's been at home in a competitive game, and that's simply defined as Seattle's not favored by more than a touchdown. Seattle has covered 74%. That's 23 winners, 8 losers, 2 ties against the spread, 2 pushes. So why does it matter if it's competitive? Because the crowd is the key, and the crowd is rocking in a competitive game. Now, do you think in this pick'em-type game, Seattle's crowd's going to be rocking? For sure. Mm-hmm. So I do like Seattle. What's the best win the Chargers have had? Let me run the teams down.
Yeah.
Bills, 49ers, Raiders, Browns, Titans, and the Titans had a 2-point to win it.
That's not a strong schedule.
Now, they lost against the two best teams, some would say, in the league, KC and the Rams.
Right.
So I just don't know what we know about this Chargers team. One last thing. Both teams run the same defense, almost exactly. So I expect this game to go over because I think both quarterbacks are going to be in a really good spot because they really know the defense they're playing against. 48's not bad. I like over.
Boy, I'm a little perplexed. I guess, well, you already know. I'm a Rams lover, have a great affinity for the boy genius, Sean McVay. I feel like this line is short, but I guess there's a lot of reasons to play the other side with the Saints at home plus 1.5.
Well, I tell you, you get at least one mention a week on the national show on Fox, because when we reference the boy genius, we say Steve Cofield alum, or straight out of Vegas alum Steve Cofield. That said, here's what you need to know about this Rams Saints.
Yeah.
Is the syndicates pounded this baby Thursday morning. Now, when I say syndicates, as Fezzik, okay, maybe he bets 5,000, 10,000 when he really likes the game. That's big money, no doubt. But syndicates bet 100, 200, 300,000. It's an organization. It's a company. And they waited till the limits went up on Thursday and pounded the Rams. So I don't necessarily love the Rams here now laying 1.5, but you got to respect that the syndicates pounded it. Here's, though, the stat that makes me not like the Rams. The Saints at home, one of the best home fields, but when they have a winning record, when the team has a winning record, the Saints have won 22 straight at home, 17-4-1 against the spread. Now, if you're getting 1.5, and you won 22 straight, I get the Rams are pretty good, but boy, the Saints just don't mess around at home when they're winning. And lastly, if you went out on the strip and asked 100 random football fans, who do you like in this game, they're going to say, wait a minute, I get the undefeated Rams and I barely got to lay anything. That means you're going to be with Freddie Fanny Pack, as I like to call them, if you bet the Rams. But you're also with the biggest syndicates in the world. That confuses me. I'll probably pass.
Yeah, the fact that I'm so smitten with Sean McVay makes me a square big time.
Well, not necessarily. It's just because of the fact that they're 8-0.
Right, right. All right, Sunday Night Football. I don't get this line at all. To me, this is recency bias. Why are the Patriots only laying 5.5, 6 against the Packers?
Once again, good instincts, because if you look at the look-ahead line, so last week's line was 7.5, Patriots over Packers. Now it's 5. What's changed? Well, Patriots played a workman's-like Monday night game. Okay, fine. Maybe downgrade them a half point. And the Packers played really well, best game of the year against the Rams, and barely lost. So, okay, let's call it some kind of adjustment. Maybe 7.5 to 6.5 or 6. I think 5 is a bit much. But here's what makes it that move to 5. But here's what makes it even more shocking. By trading Clinton Dix, the second-best safety in the NFL per Pro Football Focus, so maybe not, but let's say top 10 or 20 for sure, they got nothing for this year. They got a draft choice. So literally you told this team, hey, fight for the playoffs, but oh, by the way, we're going to trade one of your best defenders away. Why? Because he's expensive and we don't think we're going to re-sign him and we want to get something for him before, you know, the compensatory pick or whatever down the road. But wait a minute. They're trying to win now. So it's not only the absence of Clinton Dix on the field, but I think it's the mentality, the team's mindset, just like with the Lions, big downgrade, in my opinion, for the Packers due to that. But the line really hasn't moved. So this is one of those situations when the line doesn't make sense and you can't explain it. That's the thing, Steve. Sometimes we can say the Rams are undefeated. That makes sense. It moved. I don't know why this line is so low, which scares me. So I'm probably going to stay away from it because it really doesn't make sense. And here's the last thing I'll say this week is if you want me to say more, I will. But this will be the last thing for sure I'll say is if you can explain why you're getting value, then grab it up. It's either public bias or you think they're missing something about the game, the market. But if you can explain it, it means you're probably missing something. And I think there's something going on with this game that no one I have talked to is seeing, but I don't talk to everybody, and I'm staying away.
How many spots did you do this week and get Clinton Dix in the spot? Nice job.
You know, I don't usually know the player so well, but now that I host the show, I got to do a little bit more of that. But I'm still an amateur compared to Steve Cofield.
And you are putting out your 5 picks. So you guys are hitting in the Super Contest Gold in excess of 65% ATS. You put that out when?
I'm going to put it out Sunday on my Twitter, maybe Saturday.
Okay.
I'll get so many questions, I might as well put it out. But listen, I'm excited, man. I'll be honest with you, Steve, and I try to be very honest about luck versus bad luck, good luck. We've been at best or worst, however you want to say it, average luck. Meaning if you say what games did we get lucky on, what games did we get unlucky on, I'd say we probably got unlucky on one extra game. And the fact that we're a half game out means I think we have a heck of a chance to win this thing.
Big 5 is on the way. UNLV preview for the Hoops game tonight. RJ, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.